Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. This week's podcast is called Inflation Peaks During Recessions. People tend to hear what they want to and need to hear. It's just human nature. In no place is this more correct than in the mainstream financial media. I've been telling everyone for the past few quarters that the Fed will tighten monetary policy until inflation is virtually vanquished. And yet, the shills on Wall Street, who have no choice but to be nearly fully invested at all times, have completely misread the Fed and were left trying to convince the investing public not to believe their own ears. That was a huge mistake going into the start of this year, and that is even more true today. The halftime crowd on CNBS was saying today that the Fed is bluffing. Even after Powell's speech at Jackson Hole, they still are telling you that the Fed is just posturing. The entire Federal Open Market Committee is promising. They're going on record. They're going on TV and every form of media, promising you that rates are going to be increased to about 4% by early 2023. But the cheerleaders still say ignore them and buy stocks. Listen. Here's the truth. The Fed is going to raise rates until the credit and labor markets collapse. That's what they're going to do. The entire cohort of money printers and market manipulators have been embarrassed by their transitory inflation prediction and their complete fecklessness when it comes to targeting inflation. And they now, rightfully so, care more about the fact that people can't afford to buy a house than they do about making sure corporate profits are better than expected. If they were to flip-flop again now, the little credibility, and I don't think they have any, but if they have any credibility at all left, it would be gone. Let me be clear. Powell will indeed eventually pivot, but it will be because the economy and equity markets have collapsed. And I would take little solace that inflation has peaked because it is always peaks during recessions. The narrative from Wall Street is that inflation has peaked, the bear market is over, and a new bull market has begun. This sophomoric and specious conclusion completely ignores the other half of the equation, which is the falling rate of change in consumer price inflation is a direct consequence of a faltering economy. Hence, while there is indeed a realistic hope that the Fed can stop hiking rates by 75 basis point increments and can dial it back to 50 and 25 basis point hikes for the remainder of this tightening cycle, and may be able to stop raising the Fed funds rate altogether by early next year, it is going to come at the expense of a rising unemployment rate, a dysfunctional housing market, clogged credit markets, eroding earnings growth, and chaotic equity markets. The bad news for the permabulls doesn't end there. Powell may keep the Fed funds rate plateaued at a very high level for a rather long time after the Fed finally reaches its short-term target found in the summary of economic projections of 3.5% to 4%. This is because the memory of a dangerous and embarrassing battle with intractably high inflation has been seared into the frontal lobes of all the members of the FOMC. Proof that a peak Fed funds rate, peak inflation, and peak interest rates aren't always a green light for equities can be found in the data. So let's look at what happened leading up to the collapse of the NASDAQ bubble. In the year 2000, inflation peaked at 3.8% and then slowly tailed off for the remainder of 2000 and the remainder of 2001 and all of 2002. So inflation peaked in March of 2000, which is the exact peak of the stock market. In 2008, inflation peaked at 5.5% in July, just before Lehman Brothers collapsed in September and the equity market went into absolute freefall. So again, peak Fed funds rate and peak Treasury yields. Let's look at that. During the dot-com recession, the Fed started slashing rates in May of 2000 and had to reduce borrowing costs by 475 basis points before the market bottomed. That process took 2 years. During the global financial crisis, the Fed began its easing cycle in September of 2007 and eventually took rates down by 525 basis points before stocks found support. That process took a year and a half and was aided by a massive quantitative easing program. In similar fashion, the U.S. 10-year Treasury note topped out in May of 2000 at 6.5%, and interest rates didn't reach their cyclical bottom until June of 2003 at 3.1%. Likewise, the benchmark U.S. Treasury note topped out at 5.1% in July of 2007 and didn't find a solid base until December of 2008 at just over 2%. In both bear markets of 2000 and 2008, the S&P 500 shed about 50% of its value after the start of the Fed's easing cycle began and after yields began to fall. Those are the facts. That is the truth. So peak inflation, peak yields, and peak Fed funds rate is not, they are not a sign and a signal to turn bullish on the stock market. If there is one aphorism I could impart to investors at this time, it would be thus. Peak inflation also signals the peak in stock prices when the decrease in the rate of inflation is caused by a sharp decline in economic growth, just like we have today. Please don't misunderstand me. Peak inflation and lower borrowing costs are great news for equities in the medium and longer term. However, racing off to get massively long risk assets at the first interest rate cut has proven to be a really bad idea. Patience is key to success. Having a model that is able to identify when the lower rates of inflation and borrowing costs has sufficiently liquefied the financial system and can lead to a viable bull market is crucial. It's absolutely crucial to have a viable and robust model that does just that. For the time being, riding the four horsemen of the economic apocalypse is the most prudent strategy: cash, treasuries, equity shorts, and long US dollar, which all work great during bear markets. More evidence for the benefits of this strategy was clearly seen during last Friday's plunge, when all four of those allocations worked well. Now, I'm closely watching the Treasury allocation as the bad data is announced and the worsening economic data is paraded out in front of us. And if Treasuries don't respond, in other words, price up, yield down, I will jettison that position. But as of right now, it pays to have a little bit more patience in that one horseman that is not working. This strategy will probably be the safest way to protect and profit during what I call this grand reconciliation of asset prices, which should last for the next 2 quarters at least. Stock valuations are still extremely high. PE ratios are higher than their 20-year averages, and earnings estimates are way too optimistic given the current economic GDP growth. The Fed is hiking rates at the fastest rate of change in history, from 0% in March to 3.3% by year's end. Meanwhile, quantitative tightening is now ramping up to $95 billion per month. Those negative effects on earnings and the economy have yet to be felt, but will become manifest in the near future. My investment process is to get the liquidity and business cycles correct. Trying to time ephemeral bear market rallies is very, very difficult and dangerous when the fiscal and monetary noose is tightening and leading to lower highs and lower lows for stocks. Once the macroeconomic cycle turns, and I will use my IDEC model for the timing, I will begin to cover shorts and sell bond and bond proxies and allocate towards exposures that should profit from the other side of this bear market and recession. You need a hint what that will be? Think stagflation. Stay tuned. It's going to get much more exciting.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.